2016 Code Board of Adjustment meeting. I'd like everyone to take a moment and mute your electronic devices, and then we'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This evening, we'll have a number of people speaking, and what we'd like for you to do when you have something to say on a particular subject is to raise your hand and be recognized, and then step to the podium where it can be recorded, and state your name and address, and be sworn in. And we discourage people talking back and forth. Anything you have to say, would you address it to the board kindly? Charles, would you stand and be sworn in? Do you swear, declare, and affirm that the testimony you're to give tonight will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you. I'd like to have Nancy take roll call.
Gary Bartles?
Here.
Danny Mantney?
Here.
Bill Shea?
Here.
Dave Sonsasing?
Here.
John Birch?
Here.
The quorum is present. The meeting can be called to order.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to enter into records exhibits A, B, C, D, and E for the city of Wentzville, that being the zoning, subdivision, comprehensive plan, official zoning map, and staff recommendation documents. These documents are present this evening and available for viewing. Is there anyone to speak in open forum, that is, anything that's not on tonight's agenda? None being heard. The first item on the agenda tonight is the variance application 16-09-BA made by Habitat for Humanity of St. Charles County. And they are the applicant on behalf of the property owner, and that's Joshua Skrantz, is requesting a variance from Article 4, Schedule of District Regulations, Section 405.085.D.1.E. RA-1A-R-1E, and that would be single family residential district regulations and performance standards, and Article 4, Schedule of District Regulations, Section 408.085.D.2.E, and that's RA-1A and R-1E, single family residential district regulations and performance standards. And that's the minimum width at the building line. And the request is to subdivide the existing lot in order to construct two homes. In order to accomplish this, the applicant is requesting a lot size variance for the second lot to allow a lot area of 6,154 square feet in lieu of the 8,300 square feet required by the city, and to allow a lot width of 55 feet in lieu of the 70 feet minimum lot width required by the R1E single family residential zoning district. The site is located at the southeast corner of the intersection of Ball and Wall Street with an address of 508 Wall Street. Will the owner and applicant for this variance please step to the podium and be sworn in? Yes, please. Thank you.
Can you guys see that?
Yes.
Yeah.
For the record, sir, can you state your name and address?
My name is Marvin Glore, and I'm with Bax Engineering. Our office is at 221 Point West Boulevard in St. Charles. I'm here tonight as a representative.
Thank you. Can you raise your right hand and be sworn in, please? Do you swear, declare, and affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Proceed.
Okay, I'm here tonight with the Habitat for Humanity of St. Charles County for the application that they've applied for variances tonight for them, the contract purchaser of the property, and for the property owner himself. Properties you indicated in your previous discussion is located at the southeast corner of Ball Street and Wall Street. I have an aerial exhibit here, and the yellow box is the property outline that we're speaking about tonight. What I'd like to do is talk a little bit about the surrounding area, the geographical area, outside of just the one lot that we're looking at, particularly Ball Street, which we front on, and Main Street and beyond. As you go up Ball Street, you have houses that are lot sizes that are smaller than the current codes. This is an older part of town, so therefore you would expect, as there is, lots that don't meet the current codes as they evolved through the years. So, but just up the street, we have some lots that are 50 foot wide. We've got some that are 60 foot wide, all of which are under the 8,300 square foot, all of which don't meet the minimum width for the current codes. As you move to the east a little further, the big open area kind of there is the budget towing. As you move north, just beyond the lots that are directly across from us, you have a senior citizen community campus there, apartments. And then there's other multifamily up in that area. So there's multiple types of uses in this geographical area in close proximity to the property that we're talking about tonight. Then you have Main Street, which we front on that because we are a corner lot. As you move over to the west, you have the Heritage Elementary School to the edge of the exhibit there. And then you have residential in between there as well. So what we have proposed to do is to subdivide this lot into two lots. Unfortunately, the lot's not big enough to meet the requirements for two 8,300 square foot lots. There's only 14,000 square foot of lot that's existing there. We were able to work with Habitat and their plan and their housing to at least get one of the lots that would comply with all of your codes, and then worked with the second lot to get it to comply with everything with the exception of what we've applied for, and that's the lot width and the square footage of the lot. So we feel that this proposal that we have is a tremendous benefit for the city because it is Habitat that is providing this housing. It is a way for them to provide two homes instead of one home. So there's a benefit there for an additional need for someone to be able to move into your community under these conditions that they would be moving into, which may be the bigger picture of this whole thing outside of just the setbacks and the lot sizes that we're talking about here that are consistent with some of the other parts of the area there. So we have utilities and everything around the property to do the two houses and hook them up. I'm not aware of anything that's not available to be able to serve the two new houses as they go up in construction. I know there was some opposition letters that I've seen two opposition letters on the project that were sent to the city from two property owners directly across the street from us on the west. On the other side of Main Street, they live on East Academy, and I think at least one of them here is here tonight. So I'll let them speak during their public hearing and their concerns. With that, I will introduce Nancy Cope. She's the director the Habitat for Humanity in St. Charles County to speak on their program.
Thank you. Ma'am, would you give your full name and address, please?
Nancy Cope. Our business office is 186 Mid River Center, St. Peters, Missouri.
Thank you. Would you raise your right hand and be sworn in? Do you swear, declare, and affirm that the testimony you are to give this evening is the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time today and for your consideration. We will keep our comments brief, but try and get the information out, and then be happy to answer any questions that you have, and certainly glad to hear that other people are here to speak. Nancy Cope, I've been the Director of Habitat for Humanity of St. Charles County for 4.5 years. I want to just briefly take a moment and talk a little bit about the program. Not everyone understands clearly what it is we do. We are a home ownership program. We are a family education program, and we will be celebrating 20 years of Habitat St. Charles next year. We have an education piece to our program. We start by talking to about 150 families at the beginning of a year, and out of that, through very careful and difficult process, we usually choose 4 to 5 families that actually partner with us to go through Dave Ramsey financial piece, 350 sweat equity hours, and then are ready to walk with one of our volunteers as a support partner to actually purchase their home. So we go from being the family educator and support partner to being their builder as they do their 350 sweat equity hours to help build their home and other homes, to actually becoming the bank for our families. And as our families purchase their home and have a 30-year mortgage, the principal that they pay comes back to Habitat and helps us build more homes. So we jokingly say, please don't call us a charity. It is a home ownership program and an education program. So we have a lot of people that think that we get lots of money from the government and we give homes away to poor people. And I just always like to be sure and say that it is a home ownership program. That's not at all what we do. So the other thing that we wanted to talk a little bit about is just that our families work very hard through the program. Most of them have full-time jobs and sometimes 2 full-time jobs, along with raising a family, and they put a lot of time and sweat into it. We are always looking for ways that we can serve families. In celebrating our 20th year, beginning of our 20th year, we will have worked with 76 different families, over 300 family members. And we have a lot of success stories through that program, and especially for the kids who have a stable environment, a place to do their homework, a corner to go catch the school bus, and go ahead and really find their dreams. So just wanted to help you understand what our program is. There are other working parts, but that's the key to the construction and the homeowner piece. We do have some other people here today. I'm going to introduce April Tesson. She is one of our Wentzville homeowners. Homeowner resident and has been for about a year. Next to her is Mike Covey, one of our volunteers, friend of Habitat. Jim Durney, Wentzville resident. I'll ask Jim to speak. He's been on our board since the beginning, longtime resident of Wentzville. And we have one of our neighbors, Pastor Chris Dumas, Wentzville Methodist Church, who not only lives on Wall Street, but also is the church that's been very involved and is actually one of the founding sponsors of Habitat when we began 18 years ago. So with this, I'll introduce April to say a few things, and then I'll ask Jim to come up and speak. And then Chris.
Would you give your full name and address, please?
My name is April Tesson. I live at 710 Cheryl Ann Drive in Wentzville.
Thank you. Would you raise your right hand and be sworn in? Do you swear, declare, and affirm that the testimony you are to give this evening is the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
First, I just want to thank Wentzville for giving us the opportunity for my home to be able to be built here. As Nancy said, I did purchase my house. I do pay a mortgage every month. Usually it's actually in advance. And I do pay the city of Wentzville for my water, sewer, and trash bill on time every month. I do have a full-time job. My kids love our home. It is definitely a quality-built home. In fact, I just had one of my managers at one of my jobs come over to help me put in a garage door opener, and he couldn't stop commenting about the quality of the home and other houses, and he's been a homeowner for a very long time. He hasn't seen that kind of quality. So the quality is fantastic. My electric bill is really low, and it's all electric. It's less than $100 a month, so it is energy efficient. Mine is actually certified green, And I mean, I just really appreciate the opportunity, and I think it would really be great if Wentzville would allow two more homes to be built on that corner, allow two more families to move in and contribute to Wentzville with taxes and everything in my mortgage. So I am contributing to Wentzville as well, so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Charles, if we could show everybody a picture of April's home, appreciate that. Just one other thing, and I'm a little nervous, I apologize. We would not be asking for this variance if it would do anything to be detrimental to the neighborhood, because there are other homes and other lots that are as small or smaller than the second lot. That's really the only reason that we would ever have asked for a variance. We are very proud of the fact that we work closely with all the cities and the county that we build in, follow the rules, be the very best neighbors possible. I know some neighbors were worried about when we might be working. We work well within the city code. Charles shared that with us. We don't work on Sundays at all, and we're very cautious and careful and thoughtful about being good neighbors through the process. This is April's home. It's at 710 Sherrilland Drive, actually a piece of property that we purchased from Mr. Demean. We do build quality homes, all the standards, and as Marvin said, the home on the lot that is slightly smaller still meets all of the square footage, two-car garage, all of the setbacks that the city of Wentzville requests. So we just, it's very difficult to find property, and we felt that this could be an opportunity for both our home Habitat homeowners and for the city of Wentzville. So at this point, I'll ask Jim to say a few words, and Chris, and I think we'll be done. Thanks, Charles.
Can they turn up the sound?
It's as loud as it.
Maybe draw the microphone a little closer when you speak.
Sorry.
And there's no need to be nervous. We're all neighbors here.
I'm so nervous.
Sometimes I'm nervous too.
All right,
it's okay.
Thank you.
We're neighbors.
My name is Jim Durney. I live at 323 Pioneer Ridge Drive, Wentzville, Missouri, and I'll raise my right hand.
Thank you. Do you swear, declare, and affirm that the testimony you are to give is the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Proceed.
I knew I was going to appear here this evening. I wasn't sure that I was going to speak. And a real quick contribution to this conversation. I've been on Habitat's board pretty much from day one. I helped build their first house. The first house was in the city of St. Charles, and that's of interest, but of more interest, and this number I'm picking somewhat out of the air, but I think it's close. Of the 576 homes and families that we will have affected and sold houses to, and Nancy neglected to tell you that when we sell these houses, it's zero interest rate. A lot of people don't know that. We say that we're the bank, but we charge zero interest. I believe we have built in the city of Wentzville plus or minus 20 homes. So we have been in Wentzville for quite a while. We are a good corporate citizen, and we hope that you'll take that knowledge when you make your deliberations. And you know, if you have any questions for me, I'll be certainly happy to try and answer them.
Thank you. Any questions from the board?
I'd like to ask just one thing. Where is the front of the lot, on Wall Street or Ball Street?
It'll be on Wall Street, the front of both lots.
Okay.
State your name and address, please.
My name is Chris Dumas, and my address is 705 Wall Street, Wentzville, Missouri.
Thank you. Would you raise your right hand and be sworn in? Do you swear, declare, and affirm that the testimony you are to give this evening is the truth? Thank you.
I was not prepared to speak, but so as I'm sitting and discerning my words as a neighbor of this project. I have lived in Wentzville for right at 5 years, and in those 5 years we have driven past this empty lot pretty much every day, if not two or three times a day. It is obvious that a home sat there at one point in time, and our familiarity with Habitat programs is not just in Wentzville, but across different parts of the state, and I just can give witness to
the impact of a Habitat house, not just on the family, but on the neighborhoods that they move into. Because of the education portion of their program, because of the mentorship of their program, I find that it transforms not just the homeowner's life, but the neighbors that are around them. I will also share personally that it has been a practice of myself and a few folks in our church that we have been walking the neighborhoods of Wentzville for the past year, and we have been praying for our neighbors. So we have literally walked all the streets of Wentzville from, we are now over to the parkway. So we have covered all of this area. And in that process of doing that, I will give witness to the marked contrast between home ownership and rentership. It is easy as we walk down the street to know who is loving that home and who is using that home. And the Habitat owners are ones who love their home and care for their neighborhood. So I just give witness to the worth of Habitat in our neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else to speak for the proposal? Is there anyone here to speak against the proposal? Would you step to the podium, please? Would you give your name and address for the record, please?
I'm Dixie Carlson. I live at 309 East Academy, Wentzville, which is close to Wall Street there.
Thank you.
And my objection is...
Ma'am, would you raise your right hand, please? Do you swear, declare, and affirm that the testimony you are to give is the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Go right ahead.
No, my objection, I just don't think they should be varying the size of a lot. I don't care whether it's for Habitat or an individual. You know, that lot has been that size for years and years and years, more years than I know. And I've lived where I have for 30 years, and I just can't see building two houses. You know, the one house on a smaller lot, and it'll probably be a family with kids. They need more yard to play in, and Wall Street is getting to be a busier street all the time for cars backing out onto it. But I'm just personally against changing the size of the lot just so somebody can build on it. I don't care whether it's Habitat or anybody. That's all I've got to say.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else to speak for or against? Are there any questions or comments from the board? Staff recommendations, Charles?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Just to highlight a few things which have actually already been mentioned tonight, but just to kind of go over the facts of the variance request. This is a variance which will allow the applicant to create two lots from an existing single family lot. One of the lots, the northern lot, is able to meet the city's code requirements when it comes to lot size and everything else. The southern lot, lot two, is 6,154 square feet in size, so it's just shy, actually significantly shy of the 8,300 square foot requirement of the city. And it also has a lot width on Wall Street of 55 feet, and that is underneath of the 70 feet required by the city's current code requirements. The applicants have indicated that many of the lots and homes within the area are not meeting the current code either. And that's correct. Many of the homes in this area were developed in the 1940s and 50s, predate most of our codes. The city's code requirements, all new construction has to meet current code requirements. So that's something that must be understood. So a variance would be required in order to accomplish the applicant's goal of creating those two lots. The applicant's proposed homes, they meet the city's minimum square footage for living area. They provide two car garages. They meet the city's 35% lot coverage allowance, and they meet the city's required setbacks. And many of those items are also not met by some of the existing homes in the area. So the existing homes would be considered grandfathered, which is a common term, more appropriately, it's legally existing nonconformity. So they're allowed to continue as they are, but all new construction, as I said, has to meet the city's minimum code requirements. I did provide in the staff recommendation of a quick survey of the homes in the surrounding area and highlighted the lots which were underneath of the city's 8,300 square foot requirement, just for your consideration. From a staff perspective, the request meets three of the four criteria, so staff is unable to fully support the request. Happy to answer any questions.
Charles, with the size of the homes that are to be constructed, ideally you would think a little closer than normal. Would they still meet fire code requirements for the minimum distance between the two structures, specifically the roofs?
The homes and the lots and all the other city requirements, with the exception of that minimum lot frontage for lot two and the lot size of lot two. All of the other setbacks and fire code requirements and easement requirements and open space requirements will be met, as well as providing the two-car garage as the current city standard.
Thank you. Is there a way with the width of those lots, is there a way to push the one lot smaller so it can better incorporate the minimum square foot of the width?
We talked a little bit about that during the preliminary meeting for this request, and regretfully there just isn't. That single lot just isn't large enough to accommodate the two homes. Moving the lot width of lot one to make it a little bit smaller to enlarge the lot width of lot two would seem to be beneficial. However, it's also going to push that driveway of lot one closer to the intersection there at Wall and Ball. And so that's a little bit of a safety consideration where we felt that the benefit, the marginal benefit of enlarging the lot width of that one lot really wasn't helping us with the safety factor of that driveway placement. Mm-hmm. Also because both homes meet the side setbacks, it was something where we just said, let's go ahead and focus any required variances and minimize the variance requirement to a single lot, and let's make that lot one as conforming as possible.
Was there any consideration giving to flipping the footprint of the home, pushing the driveway to the other side?
I think ultimately, and I believe that was also discussed by the applicant during these meetings, I think ultimately there's not enough room on the lot to comply with the city's code requirements. However, however we kind of move the pieces around, we're still going to be short. We're still going to require variance.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions from the board? Anyone else to speak for or against? At this time, I will entertain a motion from the board to vote.
Make a motion.
First heard. Second heard.
Dave?
Yes.
Bill?
No.
Gary?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Four yeas, one nay, motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll be good neighbors. Thank you.
The second item on the agenda tonight is variance application 16-10-BA. Made by CapDev LLC, the applicant and property owner. And they're requesting a variance from Article 4, Schedule of District Regulations, Section 405.165.F.3 HF, that being Highway Frontages Overlay District. Perimeter Buffer and Landscaping, Non-Residential District, 2/ Article 4, Schedule of District Regulations, Section 405-165.F.4, HF, Highway Frontages Overlay District, and Lighting, Article 7, Off-Street Parking and Loading Requirements, Section 405.255.A, Surface Material, and Article 7, Off-Street Parking and Loading Requirements, Section 405.260, Screening and Landscaping, Commercial, Industrial, and Public Requirements, or Facility Assembly Properties, and the request is to allow the temporary use of a gravel parking lot, which does not comply with the city's standards of surface material, curbing, landscaping, or lighting. The site is located at the eastern terminus of Cliff View Drive, approximately 450 feet northeast of Wentzville Bluffs Drive, with an address of 20 Cliffview Drive. Will the owner applicant for this variance application please step to the podium and be sworn in?
Eric Schmidt, our offices are 829 Tall Cedar Court in Lewisville.
Thank you so much. Do you swear, declare, and affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Proceed.
As you stated, we're requesting continued use of the gravel parking lot that we installed just east of the steakhouse. Similar to a few years ago when we were here with Hot Shots, we're in contract negotiations for that lot right now. The lot is primarily used by their kitchen staff and wait staff. The steakhouse has a rather large employee count. So we put it in anticipating a much larger volume. The parking lot meets all the city requirements currently, not the gravel parking lot, obviously, but we're not experiencing the heavy volume that we thought we would. So it's mostly employees. Like I said, we believe probably by the end of the year, we'll be finishing that lot and paving that last lot with the new business that's going in. And then, as I stated the last time I was here, the entire development has cross easement access for parking. We believe that the overflow of that other lot, which will have excess parking, will then alleviate the need, obviously, for any kind of gravel lot. Answer any questions you might have.
Is this the same gravel lot that was used for temporary construction parking that we dealt with about a year ago?
It's moved over.
It's moved over to the east. The gravel lot was for Hot Shots, so now we're sliding.
Just keep moving it.
And moving it east. It can't go any further.
But that's the last of two lots in Winsville Bluffs that the temporary gravel lot sits on now. And like I said, we're in contract negotiations to build a suit on that lot.
Okay. Do you have an overview picture of this?
I do not. I'm sorry.
Temporary lots have an easy way of becoming permanent lots.
Certainly.
Would you object to making a firm commitment at the end of a year that it will be paved
No, not at all. I mean, we really anticipated that we would need much more of the lot. I've only seen it full maybe once, the first weekend they were open. I don't think they're experiencing quite the volume that they were anticipating initially. That being said, this time of year is kind of slow for restaurants and bars. People are typically taking family vacations, getting back to school. They think that the business will pick up more in the winter months. That's typically where they do the bulk of their business. We should, in the next 30 days, have all the details finalized for the new tenant that's going to occupy that lot. And then we'll break ground and be working on it through the fall and early winter, and we'll probably have a 4 to 5 month construction timeline.
So do you have, you're talking about this new prospective tenant coming in there, mm-hmm. Do you have a particular business or building type in mind that you want to put in there?
It's a restaurant.
Restaurant, mm-hmm. Okay. So you've already pretty much got the design, except
yes.
for the brand name design that'll make the changes.
Mm-hmm.
So your position of the parking lot and all of this will pretty much stay the way it is, for the where the lot is now.
For the steakhouse? Or?
For the lot that you're asking a variance on for the gravel, will that continue to be a parking lot or will it be part of the structure?
It'll be parking lot, but for the new building.
Okay.
It'll be the parking field for the new building.
And you're asking for this variance to extend from current date till December 31st of this year?
I think that would be enough time. By that time, we'd be under construction. Mm-hmm. We would be using that lot for construction parking and storage.
Sure.
Okay. In the notes, it talked about site plan approval for an additional 117 spaces.
That's correct.
Where are those? Are they just scattered? Is there some at the theater and some at
there's some at the theater. I don't recall the total counts. I believe there's 30 being added at the theater, roughly, and 40-something being added at Hot Shots. We did just receive approval from Planning and Zoning and Mr. Cunningham for that work, and we're planning on starting in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
So we'd like to have that work done prior to the hotel being completed, so there's just more parking.
It keeps people off of the street from parking on the street there. definitely. That was more of a problem than anything there.
Well, and it's gotten a little bit better, but with the success that the movie theaters is having, this is a slow time of year for movies also, but with the holidays coming, that will pick back up. So we would like to have that last lot underway and be working, if not finished, with the parking lot extensions by the end of the year.
Charles, I'm having problems finding the staff recommendations on this.
I have them on page 18 of 29.
Thank you. 23. Thank you. Are there any questions from the board or comments?
It's basically the same request that we had on the other one, and we put stipulations on that one.
Maybe we put a time frame on.
I mean, I would strongly suggest putting a time frame. If they get under construction, then parking that's going on there is going to cease, because you're not going to have employees parking on an active construction site.
Correct.
Well, what we ran into last time, you know, it proceeded and the construction proceeded, but then the lot was not paved immediately and the boulders were moved, and first thing you know, the next time I went to dinner there, it was full of patrons parking there, and that was several months after the request had run out. So like you said, we need to be more strict in anything we agree to, definitely with time limits.
When are you hoping to have this lot under construction with the new business?
I think we're probably 30 days away from finalizing the contract, give or take, and then it's 60 to 90 days in the permit process,
right,
finalizing the drawings. You know, so that puts us close to the end of the year where we would start breaking ground. Obviously, we want to get the footing and foundation in before the hard freeze is set in.
You were asking for until December now?
Yes.
Well, I think instead of maybe, I mean, a suggestion would be instead of putting the 45 days tacked onto the end of it like we did before, would be give a firm date that it has to be removed by, if it's December 31st.
Right.
On December 31st or before that, it's either going to be under construction or it has to be removed.
Right.
And if it takes 3 days to remove it, then obviously he needs to plan ahead and have that removed before that date.
But then the problem is, even though you start, you know, so let's say they adhere to, they're able to get all the things straightened out and adhere to the variance way it was granted, then what's to keep people from parking? Then it becomes a construction parking lot, equipment, things like that. And workers, you know, construction workers, what's to keep the patrons from parking on there? And if then they're back on the street, blocking both sides.
On my site that I just finished, I barricaded it every night.
Mm-hmm.
I had highway cones, I had caution tape, I built gates, I had chains. Mm-hmm. You know, I put bollards in the ground and I locked a chain on it every night so people, you know, couldn't get on my site. I mean, those are things that we could put in place instead of just moving some rocks around and somebody coming through and going, well,
sure,
I can push that rock out of the way and park it.
These rocks had to be moved by heavy equipment.
Right. But I mean, he has a vested interest once he starts a project there from a liability standpoint because he's got heavy equipment and open trenches and things like that to keep people out of there.
Right.
I mean, that's what I would do.
Mm-hmm. We typically barricade off our construction sites. If they're not fenced in, smaller projects, we'll barricade the entrance in and out, just so, and anyone that has a cat key can walk up to your job site and wire a piece of...
Yeah, unfortunately, they work every... One key runs everything.
Charles, what I'm thinking, you know, let's say that transpires in the way we just discussed, that, you know, we grant the variance, he locks it up at night or on the weekends, closes it off, that forces patrons to park elsewhere. What is your, what are your thoughts and opinion about, with all the existing businesses in there already and the successes of most of them, I guess, or all of them, what would you say the parking arrangements, how successful that will that be of spreading people around the parking lots as opposed to have them park on both sides of the street?
Well, I think that the applicant brought up a good point, a couple of points. First is I think that this was done, if I'm not mistaken, proactively to avoid another situation like we had with Hot Shots, where we're literally parking everywhere.
Sure.
Hot Shots was also the very first site that was developed, you know, in the development. Then Six More Cafe came along with pretty small parking lot just to support their use. So there wasn't a lot of available parking when we were experiencing those issues with Hot Shots, Klein Hotel. Obviously, Hot Shots, you know, I think that, for lack of a better term, the honeymoon period is somewhat over. I think that their business levels have now steadied to where they can control their own parking and customer traffic through normal business operations. I think what Eric was indicating is that the steakhouse hasn't necessarily had that same honeymoon boom for whatever reasons, time of year, et cetera, that we aren't necessarily experiencing the same issues that we had at Hot Shots. I absolutely agree with you that should you approve this request that we have a date certain that we'll have it no longer used for employee or customer parking for the steakhouse and transferred into a construction zone, et cetera. Once, I think, with the improvements, to answer your question, the improvements that have been done within the development, we do have cross-access parking arrangement throughout the site. The applicant has plans to install, you know, some additional spaces just to provide that buffer, if you will, safety net, I guess, a better term, for, you know, the peak times and hours of the theater and hotel, et cetera. So I think that it could work, especially by December, where maybe the steakhouse, they'll also, their business has steadied, and now they're a little bit more used to dealing with their own customer traffic and seating arrangements, et cetera, make sure we don't have that parking issue we experienced with Hot Shots. So I think that, you know, obviously staff can't recommend the use of gravel anywhere in the city, because that's not the city's code. But if it is done, I think the day certain approach could be successful.
Thank you. Another question, I guess this is to the applicant. How long has that lot been there, and is it sufficiently compacted to avoid a trip hazard, so to speak? Because my experience has been you put 2.5-inch minus in, and it's some pretty big rocks to contend with, but yeah, it does compact well.
Yes. I had to throw myself under the bus, but we did a much better job with this one than the last one. We had a large, I think it was a 45,000-pound roller in there. We pre-treated the ground. We laid down minus, rolled that in, then capped it to 2-inch minus. It's tight. I wouldn't pave over it, but sure, it's definitely not as loose or cumbersome and dangerous as the other one probably was.
Okay, what about lighting? I haven't been up there for a while, and
it's not well lit. Mm-hmm. The areas that the staff mostly park in, or the front areas, are lit by the lights in the parking lot of the steakhouse. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's not well lit, but I don't know what we could put up there that would be lighting that wouldn't be a distraction to the highway or...
That's the points we came to last year, right? Was, you know, we wouldn't want to cause a glare to motorists heading east.
And their staff right now, because it's a new concept, you know, they have multiple chefs working each shift and multiple waitresses and waiters working each shift. That will dwindle down as well as they start to, you know, kind of get the traction under their feet, mm-hmm, and realize, you know, that one server can handle a whole section instead of three people. So that the parking needs will also diminish from a staff perspective. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the patrons parking will go up.
We probably have a different patron going to the steakhouse versus Hot Shots.
Yes.
Hot Shots people might park at the workout facility and walk, where if I'm driving up and I'm wanting to spend $100 on dinner, I don't know that I'm going to park at the theater and walk over to have my dinner. People may, plus, like I said, Hot Shots was there first. Now it's pretty much built out, so there is additional parking available, but I think it's a different situation with the percentage built out than what we dealt with last time.
Any questions or comments from the board? Is anyone else to speak for or against? Any other comments?
I don't think so. I just appreciate your time and consideration.
Thank you. Anything else to add, Charles?
No, sir.
Okay, then at this time I will open up to the board for a motion to vote on this application.
Make a motion.
Second heard. One moment.
We were going to put our timeline on here.
Stipulations.
Yeah, we were going to put our stipulations in here. It's already been rolled or compacted. Lighting, I don't think we came up with anything.
I mean, last time it was just a suggestion.
Useful, yeah.
I think we put a hard date for removal. And if it works the way he wants, they may be under construction by then, and
sure,
it's a moot point, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think we put a hard date for removal and not allow 45 days after that date.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, to recap, you're wanting to use this. It's currently used as employee parking?
Employee and overflow. I mean, it's primarily used by employees right now. to your point, I mean, I think the people that are patroning the steakhouse, you know, they're going out for a nice dinner, maybe they're at Eels, they don't want to park there.
Sure.
So.
Okay.
But it could be used by customers.
It could potentially be, yes.
Okay. So how about we put the hard date on it? It's already been compacted. During construction, when all your equipment's parked there, could we put something in there for
barricade the equipment away from the parking?
Is that really part of our variance, or is that that's part of
just
the construction phase?
Yeah, I would say that's part of the requirements when they start constructing that site. I think when
that's an inspector
moves in, they probably should not be using it for parking.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it would cease to exist as overflow and,
mm-hmm, as construction.
Employee parking for the steakhouse.
Okay.
Are there any Once we would be under construction, we would block it off completely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, if
and
you hadn't, I had
be owned by a separate entity or a separate corporation, and you can't have people walking across your lot under construction, we would barricade the entrance.
Okay.
So they'd only park there.
So
January 1st.
January 1st for a hard deadline of the requested variance that ends January 1st, 2017. Once it's under construction, barricade it off, like
then
you just said.
Then it becomes a construction
site.
Okay.
And, you know, inspector or the city notices issues with that, then that's mm-hmm. between the city inspector and,
okay.
and them with their new construction.
Any other comments about points to put on there?
Sound like a plan.
Okay. Then you've got those noted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I will accept a motion.
An amended motion.
An amended motion.
Do you agree to that?
I agree.
Gary, do you agree to that?
Yes.
Amendment, okay. Dan?
Yes.
Gary?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
5 yeas, motion carries.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Okay, staff reports?
No, sir.
None. Thank you. Approval of minutes from the August 11th, 2016 meeting. I'll entertain a motion.
A motion to approve.
Second
heard. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those against? Nay. Motion passes. Ayes have it. Anything from the board?
Mm-mm.
Nothing heard. I will accept a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
Two first and two seconds heard. All those in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Those against? None heard. Motion adjourned. Thank you, gentlemen, and Nancy.